following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Waiting for me to just talk the music, weren't you?
I was.
I know you were.
I was getting ready to go, Blacklist!
Well, you have just introduced me. Welcome to Turn 11 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast for Hearthstone. I am, as he said, Blacklist! And he is.
Well, you're not going to introduce me.
And this is my partner, Autumnsbane.
Hello, everybody.
How have you been this week?
Oh, I've been good. I've been ranking up.
You're our kind of rank, yeah.
Yes, I'm very rank.
How rank are you?
I made it to rank 13.
Woohoo!
After going all the way back down to 20 first.
Oh my gosh, I'm at 15 with 4 stars, so I'm just on the cusp of 14, which I had gotten to, but, well, yeah, I got kind of slam dunked a few times.
Yeah, it's hard to stay at the top.
It is. It's hard to get to the top.
And it may be a while before you reset.
Yep. Well, should we start talking right away about the reset?
If you would like to. You're the boss.
I'm not the boss. Stop it.
Who you are. Everybody knows the wife is the boss. Okay. Everybody knows that the husbands like to tell the wife that they're the boss because they're smart.
If they're smart. Okay, so last week we had announced that the test season 2 would begin on January 2nd, that they would be resetting everybody back to rank 25. And it was expected to happen between 10 and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We announced it exactly as we read it, as they said it, and, well, it's beta.
Which means
it didn't happen.
Right.
Hearthstone Test Season 2 is delayed. We have a blue post from Zaria, and anybody who's been playing in ranked mode knows already that they're still at their previous rank or better, hopefully not worse. But Zaria posted a blue post. He's the community manager saying...
How do you know it's a he?
Oh, you're right. Could be a she.
Sounds rather feminine name to me.
Zariah, Jeremiah, I don't know, it could be a male.
Okay.
The unknown blue poster, who is the community manager, posted 4 days ago that during Hearthstone's closed beta maintenance, Thursday, January 2nd, they discovered some pesky sprites that are currently preventing them from properly transitioning from Test Season 1 to Test Season 2. Due to these issues, we, being Blizzard, are extending the duration of Test Season 1 until they can ensure a smooth transition. When the servers come back up from maintenance, ranked players will not have changed. Test Season 1 will continue until further notice. They thank everybody for their understanding, and they continue to do the beta testing phase of Hearthstone. So, yeah, everybody's staying in Test Season 1, as they said, until further notice, and that was over a week ago.
I was kind of giving up on my ranking because I knew it would just be, erased and I'd start all over again.
But I'll tell you.
They changed it.
I'll tell you. Casual play ain't so casual.
Mm-mm-mm.
I think a lot of ranked players do what I do. And now, again, I'm only ranked 15. I'm not a hardcore player. I've said that from the beginning. But when I'm not in the mood to take a chance with my rank going down or whatever, I will play in casual mode. I think that there are a lot of players who want to do their quests, and rather than risk their rank to play in a casual, in a hero that they're not as familiar with, they switch over to casual, and they are great players. So you may be coming up against them, and yeah, it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, and
not so easy.
The whole matchmaking rating. When they switched over to the new ranking system, I don't know what they did with the matchmaking. So if the really high level players, the high ranking players, the legendary players are playing us, I don't know if they're getting us as competitors, but they certainly could be if they didn't adequately change that. I know that even in the ranking, you end up facing people of higher or lower ranks, and I've noticed that just after I rank up, and I bet this is pure coincidence, but just after I rank up, especially if I've had a win streak and won, you know, 2 stars instead of 1, the next person I face is ranked higher than me.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It always intimidates me when I go up against somebody who's of a higher rank than me too.
So like when I was 14, no, let's say I was 16 and I jumped to 15, the first person I faced was ranked 14. Like, now, oh no, I just got here.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. And for people, just as another update, last week when we had finally gotten to rank 15, we noticed it had hopped up to 4 stars. Oh boy, I cannot talk tonight. It had jumped up to 4 stars at rank 15. Reap, who's been keeping contact with us, one of our listeners, today whispered me in game that he got to rank 10. And he found out that it's 5 stars that you have to get through. So it gets tougher and tougher.
Tougher and tougher.
Tougher and tougher. I want to thank Reap for that information because I haven't quite made it to rank 10 yet.
Yeah, once I hit 13, I kind of stopped playing the ranked because I was getting all jittery.
Did you have any fun things to talk about, though, that any of your plays this week?
I had no specific plays that really floated my boat. I did, however, try out... at the last episode, I made light of the Tink Master card, saying mm-hmm. that I didn't think that it would be, you know, that great a card. And Reap actually wrote and said, hey, tell Autumnspain that it's not that bad a card. And the thing is, I sort of misunderstood what the card said. So the card I'm talking about, to be specific, is Tink Master Overspark. He's a legendary creature, a minion, 3 mana cost a 2/2. And his battle cry is to transform a minion. I'll read it exactly. Battle cry, transform a minion into a 5/5 Devil Sore or a 1/1 Squirrel at random. What I thought that meant is a random creature on the playing field would be transformed into a 5/5 Devil Sore or a 1/1 Squirrel at random.
Which is correct.
That's not what happens. I actually get to target the minion in question.
What?
That makes a world of difference. A world of difference. Now you still
have... So if I have Agnaros out, you could make him become a 5/5 or a 1/1.
Right. That's exactly...
That changes the whole thing.
And for 3 mana, and of course it's a 2/2 creature which you could buff or protect or give taunt or divine shield, or just like any other minion, you could do stuff with him because he's a minion. But his best use is to, you know, get, you know, play the minion and then get a spell effect as well. And you have to be careful. I cast it on a very large creature with taunt. And where I targeted, I didn't cast it. And he became a 1/1 squirrel. And then I was able to kill him next turn with the gnome, Tink Master Overspark. But you have to be judicious, because there was one time there was one of those 3/3 bears out that has taunt. And more specific, I think it's the grizzly bear.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember. Anyway, it's the 3/3 bear that has taunt. Everybody who's played against a hunter knows what it looks like. It became a 5/5, so I'm not so sure if facing a 5/5 was as bad as facing a 3/3 taunt, but at least I didn't have to attack it. So that was my moment of clarity for the week, that you know, that card wasn't as bad as I thought. So thanks to Reap for the suggestion of trying it. I put it in one, maybe two decks, but that's that.
Has it come out? I mean, have you... How often does it...
I've played him twice. I turned one thing into a squirrel and one thing into a dinosaur.
And are you going to keep him in your deck?
I'm not sure. I'm constantly changing the decks. And this week, the source of my going from rank 15 down to 20 was just that. I kept changing my decks. And I didn't want to play in casual mode because casual mode was sometimes harder than ranked mode. But I figured, they're going to wipe the ranks. I don't care if I end at 20. I know I made it to 15. That made me feel good. I'll just play what I want to play. And so I was constantly switching cards out and experimenting. But I guess that's really what the casual mode is for the experimenting. But more importantly, I learned that feeling other people's decks, no matter how good they may be for those other people, is not necessarily something you should do if you have a wildly different play style.
Yeah, I tried somebody's Malagos deck, finally made it, and I just, as far as I was concerned, I played it maybe five or six times, and each time it just wasn't calling out. I mean, it's a end deck. It's very heavy on the higher cards. So I started with a hand of five, six, seven casting cost creatures, and I'd throw them all away, and I'd get another five, six, eight, or something like that. And it just, it really, really wasn't doing that well for me. The whole deck itself had like 4/7 cat or better, 3/6 or better, 3/5 or better, and 3/4s. And you would think they weren't that high, but I mean, and because I had six that would cast and cost one, but they weren't coming up. I never had the fast, quick ones at the beginning, so I kept losing and losing and losing. I had one game where I had a couple of quick creatures. I like it when I can get a few creatures out on my deck at the very beginning. I want to see a couple of fast things happen at the beginning, and I was having nothing. It just was not working for me.
Well, my experience is the metagame is going away from those big creatures. And how many times in the past week have you been swarmed over by a Murloc deck or a Charge deck or something
once,
like that?
Yep, I got hit by a Murloc deck yesterday.
Yep, they're just there's no time to call out these big creatures anymore.
And it's always played by a Warlock. I swear it's only the Warlocks.
No, the Warlock Murloc deck is a very popular deck. I'll grant you that. But I'm starting to see Murlocs from all classes.
In fact, I'm seeing Warlocks Murloc all over deck. The place. Really?
Yep, I did. People are going with that because they can get a bunch of small creatures out that are buffed by each other. And there's not that much AoE in this game. I mean, people say, you need to have the AoE out. But pulling out that card, and it's pulling out that card that makes these very specific decks not work so well. So I like playing a warrior, and this week I decided to go looking for a warrior deck other than what I was playing. And I wasn't doing too badly with mine, but I wanted to see what other people were doing. And somebody tweeted us and asked us specifically, hey, I'm having trouble with a warrior deck. What do you have? So I went looking partly for that listener and partly for me. And I found that Razor, number one legend player, had this warrior deck, and I was very surprised to see that a warrior made it to number one legend ranking. So I said, if he made it to number one, it might be worth a try. And I just lost and I lost and I lost, and I won a couple of games, and believe me, the games I won were amazing. When everything clicked and I got just the right card combinations, it was incredible. I managed to do over 30 points of damage in a single turn and just annihilate my opponent, which is the intention of the deck. But there are so much reliability on card combinations, but the Achilles heel, at least for me. I guess a better player makes this work better, and at least a luckier player makes it work better, because you got to get the cards in your hand. Part of the key strategy is reliant on the giant that you have to have when you have low life. It has a lower casting cost. It's called the Molten Giant. It's a 20 casting cost normally, 8/8, but it costs one less for each damage your hero has taken. The part of the strategy is actually to get wounded so that you can get your life down low enough.
That sounds risky.
It is risky, but it has the commander that gives you charge, and the youthful brewmaster that returns a card to your hand. So what I did when I won is I cast the giant, and the commander was out already. So the giant now had charge. So the giant charges for 8. I used the brewmaster. And of course, the brewmaster was able to charge also. I think that was 3 damage. I cast the giant again, so he got the charge again. And I had a second giant in my hand, so I cast that. And
how?
I charged
I would
with
not
that.
Want to be on the other end of and, that.
No, or maybe I didn't have 2 giants. I had a second brewmaster, so I was able to like bring it back yet again because of the additional brewmaster. I don't remember the exact card combination, but it was using the combination of those 3 cards that let me just completely annihilate.
Did you do 30 points of damage in that one turn?
I did. So he went from full health to me winning in a single turn. And the first thing that came to mind was, this is why they took out Unleash the Hounds. Because Unleash the Hounds used to do the same thing. Only to me, not to the same degree, because I don't think I ever did 30 points with Unleash the Hounds.
That's, yeah, painful.
But the thing is, Unleash the Hounds is a lot more manageable, and it doesn't take that precise a combination of cards. Though it is risky, because whenever I got low enough in health to cast these cards, I'd face some mage or something who'd hit me with, like, 2 pyroblasts in a row. You know, one turn after another, and
I still got to get me a pyroblast.
You do.
I haven't even been
you
playing
play the
my
mage.
Tonight.
You have to do it.
Yeah, I've been actually playing since I got the Tyrion card. I've actually been playing Paladin more. By the way, it's not a bear. It's an Iron Fur Grizzly. That's what we were talking about. That 3/3 with taunt is the Iron Fur Grizzly.
There you go.
But yeah, no, I've been playing my Paladin deck more, just because it seems to be a lot more powerful. And I mean, I know I win with, I have a deck called Oh My God. Yes, Oh My God, GAWD. It's a priest deck, and I've been playing with it when I need to win, but even when I pull it out, I just don't like the priest. I think it's because I get smacked in the head by them so much. So even when I have to play my priest, I just kind of cringe when I pull the deck out. Yeah, I rambled.
Yeah. The deck in question that I lost to, but apparently brought somebody else all the way to number 1. If anybody out there wants to try it, it's actually posted on Reddit, and it's just called Razor's Number 1 Legend NA Warrior Deck. So if you just do a Google search for that, and it'll pop right up, the Reddit post, it was easy to find, and you could read all about it. And he lays out the strategy, and he says it's not just the one turn kill, that there's other things in there. He used a lot of spell power, so that if you did a cleave or a whirlwind, it would do an extra point of damage. But I just never had those spells come into my hand when those minions were in my hand, or I'd cast the minion, one of the minions that gives you extra spell damage, has only 1 health, so it would die very quickly, so I'd have to make sure I cast it at just the right moment. And so I just felt that it was difficult to use and not worth the trouble, so it took me from 15 all the way down to 20. So then I said, let me play something that I know will win. And I made my own mage deck. I didn't copy anybody else's. And in a matter of 2 days, I went from rank 20 to 13 by using a mage deck exclusively. After losing game after game over a course of 3 days with a bunch of different decks, mostly that warrior deck, I made it all the way to 13 with the mage deck, which with my skill level tells me that the mage is probably overpowered, because the only thing that was able to stand in my way was one shaman, one warrior, and a couple of priests. Everyone else, like wheat to my scythe.
Well, I had a couple of occurrences where I was running into a lot of warlocks. I swear, I sat down and I fought a bunch of warlocks back to back to back. But I have to tell you about this one warlock. One of the best games I've ever played. It lasted probably a good 10-15 minutes. It was just, I had so much fun playing him, and I died, but it was close. We went back and forth. We were polite with our emotes. And when I finished it, I was going to put him on my friends list. Because again, if you like the players now, Hearthstone allows you to see who you played and make them a friend, or actually send the friend request out. I was going to do it, decided not to, hit play again, and I actually got him a second time in a row. So as soon as I saw it was him, first I said hello, like I always did, and then I said well played right after that, because I really wanted to tell him I had a great time playing against him. And I lost. I mean, I had a great time and lost. That's fun. I did put him on my friends list after that. He hasn't responded, but it's kind of tricky because you can accidentally delete people. I'm just trying to get rid of all the PvP garbage from the sites that are trying to sell gold and such.
Well, that's a big thing. In fact, I think one of our listeners tried to send me a friend request, and I had a stack of all these PvP bank spammers, gold farmers that had invited me. In the process of trying to delete them all, I deleted the legitimate request. So if that person who sent me the request is listening, whoever you are, I apologize. I wasn't just blowing you off. I accidentally deleted you. But I have to go into Warcraft to get rid of those people most of the time, because something's wrong with the interface. And I don't know if I should probably go and report it as a bug to, on the Hearthstone forums. But the little X's where you click to get rid of a friend request, they don't always work.
Yeah, it's something else. I've noticed that. But something else, if you're going to put in a bug request, put in a suggestion also for us to be able to see, like a website or whatever. If you go into Warcraft or if you go into Diablo, you don't only see the name of the person requesting it. You get to see more details about that person.
Like a website address.
Yes, and Hearthstone doesn't allow that. So if you have a name that looks legitimate, I go into Warcraft and look at it there, and then I see PvP whatever, and I'm like, okay, delete this guy. I always have to second check anything that shows up in Hearthstone, because Hearthstone doesn't show that extra amount. So if you do put in a bug request, I would, you know, throw that in, that idea in.
Yep, nice. Not only that, but one of our Twitter followers suggested that we use some kind of add-on. I think he called it Bad Boy add-on. That's Tahu the Seer. Thank you, Tahu, for the suggestion, except that's a Warcraft add-on, not a Hearthstone add-on.
And maybe someday Hearthstone will allow things like that, but...
You think there'll ever be a market for Hearthstone add-ons?
Limited and tweaking. It's a different kind of game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I could see, like, that person's... I don't see them being very usable. Like, if you wanted to do the secrets, like somebody else had that app that we weren't too fond of, to be able to get an idea of what somebody might be casting. And if I am playing a paladin, it's really this one, one secret that they play. So if you did an app like that or an add-on like that, it would be very limited. There's not a big market for it. But for keeping people out, yeah. I think there should be a way to do that.
Yeah, they could end up having add-ons to manage your friends list better, or to keep track of your wins and losses better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that I could see. Speaking of apps and add-ons and things, you were going to talk about the Blizzard store.
Yeah, so I was looking at the Blizzard store, and I noticed that they've changed their format. First of all, they changed the Warcraft interface so that when you're in-game and you want to buy a mount or something from their store, or some cosmetic item, you can do it right from the interface in the game.
Oh, and Rift, I think, has that.
Yep, Rift has that. Star Wars has that. A bunch of games have that.
Hearthstone has that.
So what happened was Blizzard decided to integrate this ability to interface with their store. But around the same time that they did that, their whole store went digital. So they changed their vendor or their program or whatever. They changed something big. In fact, if you go to the Battle.net store, it says beta. You can only purchase Battle.net shop beta, and you can only purchase electronic items. So if you're looking at the games and you go to Hearthstone, for example, you can download the Hearthstone game, even though it's a free-to-play game. There are no physical things there anymore, so the books and the toys, they're not there anymore.
But just as a side note, if you download the Hearthstone game again, you still need the beta key. If you haven't got it, it still won't work for you.
Well, that's true. And there's also the interface that you can download. But the reason I went to the store is because I saw this cute little book. Chris Metzen and Wei Wang did the illustration. Chris Metzen did the writing. There's a cute little book called Snow Fight, A Warcraft Tale. And it was supposed to be available at BlizzCon, and I don't know if it was, or if it was, it wasn't there long, because I didn't see it in the store. Like a 33-page children's book, and it's got little children cartoons of Thrall and Varian Wrynn and the Lich King, and it looked really cute. And so I said, oh, a children's book about Warcraft, that's cool. I bet that would be a great Christmas present. The problem is there were thousands of Blizzard fans that wanted to buy it for Christmas and couldn't. It's not on Amazon. It's not on any of the big stores. So I think Blizzard may intend to sell it exclusively, but they're not selling physical items anymore, at least for the time being.
But you were able to see some pictures and pages from that. Was that
right?
Just samples?
Well, Blizzard has each year given us a virtual holiday greeting cards, and you can go to the Blizzard site and actually find the link to that. And this year they added some pictures, but they included 5 pictures from that book that are like the virtual greeting card. So if anybody's interested in seeing these cute little kids pictures, they're at the Battle.net site.
And when he says kids pictures, he's talking about child Thrall,
yeah,
and child, you know, Lich,
yeah,
King.
If my daughter was 6 years old again, I would have been dying to get that book for her. One reviewer said how good a kid's book is for her depends on how fast she gets bored of reading it to the kids at night after night after night, and she hadn't gotten bored yet.
Cute.
But anyway, you can download the Hearthstone free-to-play client from this new shop, and or StarCraft or Diablo or any of the other Blizzards. And just wanted to, you know, since we're closing on Christmas time and there's a ton of snow outside our window and this book was all about a snow fight, I just wanted to mention that.
That sounds cute. I would want that. I'm that kind of person. I like collecting that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and as I'm looking at the pictures, I'm like, oh, I want to see a Varian Wrynn card. I want to see an Arthas card someday. Maybe in an expansion.
Yeah, maybe that could be another hero. That definitely could be another hero. Talking about things like Arthas or Varian Wrynn, if they weren't heroes, then they could be something like a legendary.
Yep, definitely they could be legendaries. They'd make great minions, wouldn't they?
Yep, and speaking of legendaries, there was an article on what is it? Blizzprow, called Ranking Class Specific Legendaries, where the writer goes through discussing what he thinks are the better legendaries for each class. And he seemed to very, very much like Sylvanas Windrunner. I haven't really looked into that much, but what are your thoughts on the legendaries?
In terms of what the best ones are, because that's what this article is all about.
Great.
Well, first let's go over what the author of this article thought. He or she listed their, I like these BlizzPro people. They follow us on Twitter, but they have a pretty good website, and they actually sponsor an app that you'll talk about later. But this article was posted by Zen Style on January 2nd, very recently, and he talks about what he thinks are the best five cards. And number one, he picks Tyrion Forgering. And I haven't played it, but I've always thought that was a pretty darn good card. A casting cost of 8, a 6/6 creature with Divine Shield and Taunt, and when he dies, he equips a 5/3 Ashbringer. That's some pretty hefty stuff
for
the power.
It's an awesome card. I have a Tyrion deck. Because I got the legendary, I looked it up, and I agree with him fully. He mentions that even if it's silenced, it's still a 6/6 character, and it's hard to take down. And if it's not silenced and he dies, you've got the 5/3 Ashbringer suddenly in your hand to clobber something else with. It really is. I agree with him. It's a great card for the Paladin deck.
Well, let's move on to his number two pick. And I don't know if he put these in order or if he just listed the five. But Cenarius, big druid character. 9 casting costs, 5/5. And like most of the other druid abilities, 5/8. Most of the other druid abilities, you get to choose one. So you can either give your other minions +2/+2, or summon 2+2/+2 treants with taunt. I've had this used against me, and I wasn't too happy to have it used against me.
Had it once. I don't have it anymore. I lost it during the full-fledged wipe.
Oh, you had it in the beta.
Early beta before the first wipe. It was the first legendary I ever got, and I lost it in the wipe, and I have never gotten again.
Did you ever get to play with it?
No, because I'm not a druid lover.
Yeah.
But it is an awesome card. I would have, but back then I was just starting to learn how to play, and I hadn't tried experimenting with cards, and I knew it was an awesome card, and I never got to play with it, and I really wish I had. And it's probably better I didn't, because then I might really be regretting not having it anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he tends to like specific hero class cards, because Tyrion can only be used by the Paladin, and Cenarius can only be used by the Druid.
I think that's what the actual theme of the article is he was talking about legendaries that are specific for each class.
Oh, I see.
And what he was saying was like, these are the legendaries that are the best of a class-specific legendary, but that there are cards out there that aren't class-specific that are actually better, like in his eyes, Sylvanas or Ragnaros.
Yeah, I like Sylvanas. Don't have her. I like Ragnaros. I don't have him. And the third one on his list, I really wanted for the longest time. King Crush, 8/8 with charge. It's hard to beat that. 9 casting cost. But here's the thing. I don't have a Hunter game at all anymore that lasts till turn 9. Not one Hunter game have I played in the past 3 weeks that made it to turn 9. It's always 6, 7, or 8, game over. Whether I die in that amount of time or I win in that amount of time, it's always a quick game. So I just couldn't rationalize making a 9 casting cost legendary, and using all that dust for a card that wouldn't see play. And I'm having that problem with other legendaries. Some of the really good legendaries have very high casting costs, and they're not seeing play. And by that stage of the game, the other player has something to take it out quick. So if I do get a legendary out these days at endgame, it's gone. Either a priest has stolen it, or somebody's killed it, or turned it into a frog, or turned it into a sheep. So it's these high casting cost cards are just not doing it for me. Maybe in the future there'll be more cards that get other cards into play quicker. Right now all you've got is that robot, right? The alarm bot. But it's a really nice looking card in terms of what it does.
It reminds me of Un'Goro Crater. Every time I see that picture, I just think of the Devil Sword and getting tromped in Un'Goro Crater.
And they recently updated the animation for it, so that's another reason I wanted it. Supposedly it's got a really great animation now.
His fourth choice was for the Warrior deck was Grom Hellscream, which I actually got around Christmas time. He's 8 casting costs. Not yet, because I don't play a Warrior. I mean, I am slowly going through and learning the others, but right now it's been Priest, Mage, and Paladin. Eventually I'm going to move towards Hunter and then Warrior and work with these. But Grom Hellscream, 8 casting cost for a 4/9 creature. He comes out with a charge, and Enrage is +6 attack. So you ping him with... If you have an Elven Archer, which is a card that goes with any deck, you can bring out your Elven Archer and hit him with it for 1 point of damage. He goes from a 4 to a 10 damage creature. And he still would be a 10-8.
Warrior decks have lots of abilities that damage their own creatures just for that purpose.
He's a big ouch.
Yeah, for an enraged deck, that's awesome. And again, he's got an 8 casting cost, which is not, for some reason, that threshold between 8 and 9 seems to make a big difference to me, because I do get my Grom out from time to time. Whereas I almost never get the 9 casting cost legendaries out. But here's something interesting about the card. This is just a little sidebar. The graphic I'm looking at that's posted on the website says Grom Hellscream. But if you look at the card in game, it actually says Grommash Hellscream.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And then he also suggests using cards with that. Cruel Taskmaster is a 2 casting cost 2/2 card with a battle cry that deals 1 damage to a minion and gives it +2 to attack. So what you're essentially doing is giving it +8 with that one card that costs 2 to cast.
Yep. Excellent card.
So yeah, it's a potentially game ender. So that was
a nice way to finish off.
Yes.
Nice way to finish off your game.
Yeah, that was his fourth choice.
Now his fifth choice, Archmage Antonidas. You remember he was being a proud Morris mentor. 7 to call out, and that's not bad. 7, 5/7 for health, for attack and health. Whenever you cast a spell, put a fireball spell into your hand. Now in theory, that sounds like an awesome ability, but anytime I've read or heard somebody talking about this card, they said that it just wasn't worth it to them because they weren't getting enough fireballs, or he wasn't living long enough, or whatever it was. But I don't have one. I haven't had a chance to use one. What about you?
No, I don't have him. I haven't. The one I crafted recently was actually Malagos. That's the first legendary I've ever crafted.
Well, you know, Fireball casts 4. I mean, costs 4 and does 6 damage. So, I suppose having a Fireball in your hand every turn is an awesome thing.
Well, he found problems with it that he mentioned. It says you want to generate Fireballs and then end the game in the next turn or two. The problem is if you're being overrun early on, you have to throw out the other spells to keep alive or advance your position on the board. So it's a tricky card.
Yep, definitely one of those tricky cards. As I said, I've heard people who thought it was great, they put it in their deck, and then they ended up taking it out because it just wasn't doing it for them. but I can't speak from first-hand knowledge on that. So, what are your favorite legendaries? What would you put on that list? Because there's definitely cards on my list that he's not listing.
Well, I agree with him on Tyrion. And that's as far as it goes, because the rest of the cards that I like the most of the legendaries are not class-specific. Obviously, I've spoken about Ragnaros. Ragnaros is basically, he does 8 damage at the end of your turn. He can't attack. It's 8 casting cost. He's an 8/8 creature, but he can't attack at the end of the turn. You just deal damage to a random enemy. He's one of my favorites. He's been usurped, though. He is no longer my top favorite card.
Oh, what is? Legendary you're talking about.
Yes, I'm talking about legendaries. I just like that little gnoll. I like my Hogger. 6 casting cost, 4/4 creature. Doesn't sound that impressive, except at the end of your turn, he summons a 2/2 gnoll with taunt. He keeps popping out those taunt gnolls. It keeps the damage off of him, allows you to obliterate your opponent while they can't do anything because they can't get around the taunt, unless they're the kind of class that can cast spells over your taunts, which we know that there are a few of those.
Yeah.
But he would be. So I would say Ragnaros, Hogger, Tyrion, Malygos, and the last, my fifth choice would be, just for the sheer silly, is the Elite Tauren Chieftain, because they're just
such a fun card.
I will not play ranked mode with that card in my deck, because that is only a fun card. You can so easily lose the game by playing that card. But it's
I've lost every
silly.
Game I've played with it in.
But
they
it
were
is,
fun games, but I lost them all.
Yeah, so if you don't put it in a deck when you're trying to get up in rank, but do put it in if you are just going to be casually silly, because it's a great card. So that would be my choice, actually, just for the silly factor. What
and
about
you almost always get a well played from your opponent when
yes.
you play.
Yes, I mean, it's incredible. Anybody who hasn't seen it, I'm sure there are YouTube videos out there now. You should just give it a watch, because it comes out and the searchlights are going and flashing and there's confetti. I mean, it's just sparks and lights and big sounds and guitars crashing, and it's great. So those are my 5. What about you?
Well, I don't have, every legendary out there, but I don't have a paladin deck that's got a legendary in it, except I might have a Nyxie or something like that in one of them. But I would play paladin more often if I had Tyrion. I think that is an awesome card. If we're talking class specific cards, I have not played shaman a whole lot. I think I could like shaman. I think I could like it, because there's just something about it that appeals to me, even though I don't do well with it. But the shaman legendary is Alakir the Windlord. He is just an awesome, awesome card. He's got a lot of abilities, and I think if I had him, I would play Shaman quite a bit. And let me call out the specific abilities he's got. He's an 8 casting cost, which again, I prefer over a 9 just by that alone. He's 3/5, but he's got Wind Fury, Charge, Divine Shield, and Taunt. So he can do just about everything. And I've never seen him in play. I've been beaten by Shaman. I've never seen one come into play on the other side either. But Wind Fury, I get my butt kicked with Wind Fury if I can't control that card. Any character with Wind Fury. So they pump him up.
Yeah, that's definitely
they protect him,
hit this
and then
first
they go
card.
In. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, look, Reap is in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Reap. So, let me talk about the others.
That was definitely an ADD moment.
Yeah, well, oh, Sparkly.
Oh, look, a squirrel.
Chocolate. Prophet Velen. Awesome, awesome card, in my opinion, for the priest. Now, I don't play priest a lot. I just have this, feeling of self-loathing when I play the priest, because priests are just, the lowest form of, well, I guess.
Now, stop them, our listeners. Play priests primarily. Behave yourself. I'll get the lash out.
I'm just kidding. We know that Warlock Murloc decks are even worse than priest decks. But anyway, he's 7 casting costs and a 7/7 creature. So that's not bad on its own. But he doubles the damage and healing of your spells and hero powers. Note the and hero power. So when I go to heal myself for 2, I'm healing myself for 4. That's a pretty darn good ability. And there's a spell in particular that I've won the game with while having Velen out. I think it was Holy Fire. It's a 6 casting cost, and you get 5 health and deal 5 damage to your opponent at the same time. So I basically gave my opponent 10 damage and then was healed 10 life at the same time. Because Velen was out there. You know, instead of 5, it was 10. That's just a pretty incredible ability, if you ask me. So I'm very surprised Velen wasn't on his list. And yes, it's Holy Fire. I just looked it up. But I have to agree with him with Grom Hellscream. I love playing Grom Hellscream. If the Warrior deck lasts long enough to call him out, Edwin Van Cleef is probably by far my favorite legendary. I haven't been playing a lot of rogue decks lately, but he's a very, very awesome card. He works with combos. So anybody who's played rogue or played against rogue knows that combos are the big deal on the rogue deck. And
so explaining what a combo is, a combo means that you've played one card first already, and it gives you the ability when you play the next card, you get a extra boost for the combination that you've already played one card. It's not your first card out. You don't get the combo ability if it's the first card you've played.
Right, and a couple of things about him. Off the bat, he's a 3 casting cost. 3 casting cost. There's not too many good legendaries that come out with only 3. And he's only a 2/2 to start. But the combo is gain +2/+2 for each card played earlier this turn. So the buffs that he gets are temporary. That's the downside. But I have had a 12/12 Van Cleef on the board at least 3 times while playing rogue decks, and and I've won because of that card. You know, you just play your game through, you're toward the end, you're saving up your cards, you play a bunch of cards that have combo abilities, so now I'm popping up little minions left and right, I'm nicking them down with damage, take a little damage there, you know, Death of 1,000 Cuts, and then boom, here's my 12/12 Edwin Van Cleef, and that kills him. Of course, he doesn't have charge, so, you know, you gotta wait till the second turn. And
when the priest can grab him.
Yeah, I think legendaries in general have these big targets on their heads, and a little bullseyes, because regardless of which legendary I play, they almost never last more than a turn. They're like everybody's first choice. Edwin Van Cleef is definitely one of my favorites. I just crafted Malagos, thinking that Malagos would be really, really good, and I can't get Malagos to stay in play long enough for me to get that +5 extra damage, main reason you cast it.
As I said, I want to play the Malagos deck. I've got to tweak it. The one that was sent to me is just too heavy with all the big creatures. I'm just not getting them out in order to be able to see Malagos. I'm getting killed before he comes out. So I can't really comment. The one time he did come out, it seemed to give some good boosts, but I just wasn't seeing the cards that I was used to playing with the mage deck in the deck that I've got. So I'm going to look around a little bit and see what I can find. It was a good card.
It's 4/12 for 9.
And again, now, I don't have Pyroblast to the Face either, so I still have to get that card.
Right, so 9 is a high casting cost, and you can only have 10 mana. So unless you've got a bunch of cards out that lower your casting cost, you're not going to get another substantial spell out there. Maybe a 1 casting cost spell that does 3 damage, and No, it'll do 8 instead of 3 because of the plus 5. The 12 health definitely makes it harder to kill. So there's the hope for keeping it around a second turn. But those one-shot creature killing cards, the ones that just destroy a character in one turn, or polymorph them, or turn them into a frog, Malygos is prime target for that every time. So I haven't really, once, maybe twice, he's done me some good.
I've got to play him more, and I'm kind of thinking I need to play a warrior and get Grom out there and see what I can do with him too. So that'll be my quests for the week. Still there, Autumn's Bane? You've got some quiet. Okay.
I'm here.
Just checking. I just want to move on a little bit because we're winding down on the hour, and I did want to mention my app of the week. This one snuck in on there. It's called Hearthpedia, and it is fabulous. This is finally, yay! There is iOS. There is an iOS app for the iPhone that is good, as well as, you know, it actually competes with my favorite, which was for the Galaxy, the Hearthstone spellbook. This one actually kind of tops it. It's really nice. You go in there and there are a bunch of different things you can do. There's a fan site from BlizzPro that gives you just tons of new information, new posts, and what's going on.
Articles.
Articles.
Like the one we just read from them.
Exactly. So, you know, applause. Very, very nice. There's the card of the day, just a random card. It tells you what the creature does and the casting costs and the damage and the all that. Just shows you a picture of the card. It's really nice. It's cute. There's a card collection. There's, it basically tells you what the different cards are for each class. The only thing I don't like about that, and it's still great, don't get me wrong, it starts on the warrior. You have to scroll through, kind of swish through to get to the class you want. You can't do a search by class.
But
not that I've found
yet. You can search a specific card if you want.
Absolutely. Gives you the ability to create your own deck in the decks area. There's an arena area that allows you to basically, it fakes you out as if you're doing an arena practice, and basically it gives you 3 cards to choose from, and you choose the one and it moves on just like an arena, so that you can create a random deck. You can practice putting together arena decks, and then if you like it, it saves it. You can go back into Hearthstone. If you've got the cards, you can actually create it and try it out.
Let's try this.
That is neat.
Let's do this. Let's use that ability. We'll each make a deck based on the app for Arena, and we'll play each other in a challenge mode, just the two of us, based on the cards we made out of the Arena deck maker, and see what happens. It'll be like we're doing Arena with each other.
Sounds good. That sounds like fun. And we'll let everybody know how well we do. The other sections are secrets, and again, there are only 3 classes that play secrets, so it's just a small area. Allows you to look at the cards that are secrets for each. There's a mechanics area, which goes through the different mechanics like taunt, even the hero powers, all that sort of stuff. It's nice. The most fun is the card creator. Yes, you have heard it here first. It allows you to create a Hearthstone card based on, if you're using it on your iPhone and you take a picture of your doggy, you can then create a cat or fish, whatever you want to take a picture of. You create a card. It puts the image that's in the photograph into the middle of the card, gives you the ability to change the casting costs, and it gives you the ability to give it all the powers, and it also gives you the flavor text, so you can write that your dog makes all other dogs in the area howl for 3 points of damage. It's just really cute, and then you can
Black
actually...
Blade.
Yes?
Anyone who follows us on Twitter will have seen my Daisy card.
Your Daisy.
I posted it to our Twitter account.
Okay, so yes, if you follow us on Twitter, you could see this. It's just really an adorable ability that this app has. You can, as Autumn Spain did, he posted it to Twitter. You can send it out in private messages. You can email it to yourself and print it out on paper and create a little actual physical card deck. I mean, it's just too cute. It is a great, great app. It's called Hearthpedia. I highly recommend this one. I am not deleting it like I've deleted the others I've spoken about. This one is a keeper.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh, we got mail.
We did.
Yeah, I want to read some mail.
You got mail.
We love when the community interacts with us, and it's happening more and more, and it just makes my day when I see somebody has sent us an email or tweeted something to us or wrote something on iTunes. It makes us feel that we're reaching people and we're not doing this for our own vanity, and that people are getting something out of it, because it's an investment of your time to listen to us, just as it's an investment in our time to be doing this. And it makes me feel connected, and it makes me feel really good. But we got
He says me, he means us.
Did I say me?
Yes,
me means us. We're married. Everybody knows that. So we get this, I'm going to call this writer Rich from Snowed in St. Louis, Missouri. That's how he signed off. So Rich writes, "Hey guys, listen to your show every week. Great stuff. I know Autumn Spain has been looking for a hunter deck that is useful in ranked, and I have one for him. Yang Wu from the Hearthstone dev team made this deck. I went on a 7-game win streak and this deck and moved from 20 to 15 in one evening. His had a couple of cards I didn't have, so I substituted a couple of comparable cards. If you see any cards in the deck that you don't have, just use something else from your collection that is someone close in value. I'm going to send you this in picture form. If you want an actual deck list, just let me know." So one of the benefits of those screenshots is you could take a screenshot of the deck and send it to somebody. That's what Snowden Rich did for me, and I'm going to try that deck and see how it works out, and I'll report next week, except it has Ysera, and I don't have Ysera, so I think I have all the other cards. So, Rich, thanks for the suggestion. Thanks. I didn't get a chance to try it out, because you just mailed me that email at 4:17 a.m. this morning. us, not me, us.
So, we just absolutely thank you so much. There was a second email as well, right?
Was there?
I thought there was not, but there was. There was another 5-star review. We want to thank IceStorm for it. Thank you. We're up to 3 5-star reviews. We love to hear from you. We love to hear good, bad, ugly. Doesn't matter. He was very nice. He told me a little boo-boo that I've been doing and gave me the suggestion on how to make it all better. So I really do appreciate it. So thank you to, I'm calling him Ice Storm, but it's I-C-S-T-R-M. I'm sure that's what
it's Ice Storm if you put the right vowels in there, right?
There you go. But as I say every week, please do follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can listen to us and download us from iTunes. Send us a review if you wish to. We always appreciate it. And you can follow us on Facebook at awohearthstone.
And this is very important, Black Lace.
Yeah.
I've apparently been informed that we have a big Missouri following.
Woohoo, Missouri!
Because Reap is also from Missouri. I wonder if maybe he knows Rich. Reap and Rich can hook up and play Hearthstone together.
I still owe Reap a playing. I have to actually challenge him someday. But now he's, I don't know, he's 10. He's kind of scary. He's ranked 10.
Yeah, he's, well, and it wasn't with a mage deck either. By the way, I have an idea of how to make the mage deck not overpowered, and it doesn't involve nerfing a single thing, so we'll talk about that next week.
Sounds good. So, as always, thank you all for tuning in. This was Turn 11, and happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing, everyone. See you next week.
Bye! threatened with murlocs. Oh no! I remember needing to pick up murloc heads in Warcraft. Tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.